So, asking questions. The most important tool in your arsenal. Absolutely, positively, yes. As far as I'm concerned. Why? Because questions get you the answers you need to know. Questions are brilliant for a whole lot of things. And not just because it does give you the answers you need to know. It does get you inside information. But just because it will get you answers is not the only reason to ask a question. Asking questions does a couple of really great things psychologically to people. Number one, when you ask a human being a question, they have to concentrate, even if for a moment, on actually answering the question. And what you're trying your best to do, not only just to give them the information that they want, you're trying to keep them away from the ultimate question. And what's the ultimate question? How much? We don't want to go there yet. Unless it's a, you know, blow them out of the water deal, which we don't particularly want to do all the time. We want to keep them away from that question. So when somebody calls me, I almost never answer their questions with the answer. That's not the only reason, but that's an important one. Another one is, it shows you care enough to ask. Another important question is, I may really need more information to give them the right answer. Another important reason is, I may see an inroad there for more sales. Example, how much are your balloons? What is it? How many would you like? I need 100. How much are your balloons? Well, we have the latex balloons, the rubber balloons. We have the foil balloons, the silver shiny balloons as well. Did you need 100 of one or the other, or did you want a combination? I just want those cheap ones, you know, the clown ones. I just need 100. How much are they? Well, where is this going to? She tells me wherever. It's going to, you know, Mattawan, New Jersey. And when do you need them for? I need them in an hour. Now, that gave me a lot of information. They still want to know how much. But I'm asking them questions. And psychologically, when you ask a human being a question, they're moving backwards. I don't want them moving this way. I want to move forward. I don't want them moving forward at me. I want them moving backwards, meaning I want them to think and keep them away from the ultimate question. Plus, by finding out this information, like I said before, I can find out all kinds of really good stuff. Where it's going, when it's going. The next question, you know, we have over 75 different colors in latex balloons. What kind of colors were you looking for? Now, some of you may charge more for metallics. I don't know if you do or not. We don't, but some of you may. Well, if you just off the bat did, how much are your 100 balloons? $100. Click, and they move on to the next one. But they didn't tell you when, and they didn't tell you where, and they didn't tell you what kind, and you assumed. And you know what everything happens. You know what happens when you assume. Plus, I may have slowed them down, kept them away from the ultimate question, and they might actually think for a moment, maybe, not always, but maybe, hey, this guy actually cares enough to ask me these questions, and I'm also educating them. Because did you hear how I described the balloons? I didn't just say latex and mylar, which is wrong anyway. It's foil, always foil. But we have to remember the jargon we throw at people may, I mean, it's, of course we know what latex is, and of course we know what foil is, but they may not. Right. However, everybody is a balloon expert. Just like at events and parties, everybody's a food critic, and everybody's a music critic. I know what's right. Now, as a DJ many, many years ago, the ultimate question point there was, play this now, everybody will dance to it. Because everybody knows everything about music. Now, they didn't know that they were talking to a guy with a music degree, and I'm eight credits shy of a performance degree as well. So I think I have a pretty good handle on what's the right music for you, you drunken slob. So back off, and I'll play the right music. Now, you can't say that, but you think that because you know that. And if I was DJing for X amount of years at that time, believe me, I know what people are going to dance to. And it's very rare that everybody dances to anything because everybody's a music critic. Just like everybody's a food critic. Just like everybody knows everything about balloons. They're going to stay up for a week. I had them, they stayed up for a month. Why did these come down today? Right? Well, part of that problem is because you may not have asked the right questions. What do you need these for? You know, over the years, we've done a lot of orders. Somebody, I need balloons by 5 o'clock today. What do you need? They tell us latex, 200. Okay, we deliver 200. And tomorrow at noon, they call complaining that they came down. Well, yes, I'm sorry, but that's what they do. But we needed them for a corporate launch that starts at 1 o'clock today. Well, if I'd asked the right questions before, I might have found out that that's what it was for, and they really didn't need them, or maybe they did need them for a couple of events the next day, and I would have sold them high flow to go with it, at which point it would have been an upsell on top of selling the customer what they really needed. Right? I'm educating the consumer. Like Cy Sim says, I don't know if you have Sims out here or from wherever you are, an educated consumer is the best customer. So if we can give them back the right information, it does a whole lot of good, and it keeps them away from the ultimate questions. Right? You can also find out a very simple thing in terms of what they're willing to spend. How much? As much as they ask how much, what's to stop me from asking? What's your budget?
Sometimes they don't want to tell you. They feel like you're going to...
That's right. You're absolutely right. Sometimes they don't want to sell you. What's the worst that could happen if you ask them?
They don't tell you.
They don't tell you. And some of them may say, well, I don't know. Well, I really don't have a budget. Yeah, I know what the budget is, but I'm not going to tell you. I've heard those answers. I've heard them all. And lots worse and better. And sometimes I've heard, I have $5,000. Oh, wait a minute. Silly me. I was thinking this is, you know, going to be a couple of $100. And sometimes the best ones I hear is, I'm sorry, but I only have about $5,000 to spend on this one. And my answer is, don't worry about it. We'll work it out. Right? They just sold themselves a whole different universe for me. But I never would have known if I didn't ask. Because also, that happens more on a corporate level than anywhere else, but it can happen on a personal level as well.
Yeah, well, I remember I had a woman that said, we only have $200, and by the time she finished, she had spent $500.
There you go.
She found another $300 along the way.
She found it. Don't think for a minute people don't have the money. I mean, yes, there may be some people who truly don't have the money. And, okay, they don't. But... Most people do. Right. Right. So if they can save a couple of bucks, okay. It never hurts to ask. The worst that could happen is they just tell you no. Or they really, really don't know. But you're asking another question to give them an idea. Right? Keep moving forward. Keeps them busy answering. If you keep them busy answering, they're keeping off the ultimate question. And then they're too busy to ask the ultimate question, the big one. How much? This is not working. Sorry. So, what I talked about before with the balloons, and I got off on a tangent, I'm sorry. When I described the latex balloons and the foil balloons to you, I didn't just say latex and foil because people may not really know. So I'm educating the consumer. A latex balloon is the rubber balloon. A foil balloon is the silver shiny one. That one lasts a lot longer. The latex balloons are just good for the day. I'm educating them. When they call and ask, they want a basic arrangement. How much are your balloons? What were you looking for? Well, I just need a couple of balloons. How much are they? What's your minimum? Well, we have several different kinds to choose from. We have 20 of the latex balloons, the rubber balloons, helium-filled, multicolored, a multi-ribbon. We have over 75 colors to choose from. The foil balloons last much longer, but you only get 8. And we have about 400 different styles you can choose from. Or if you like, you can have a combination. Which would you like? I didn't answer her question. Well, you know, I really don't like those shiny ones. I just want the latex ones. What's the occasion? It's a 50th birthday. You know what would be great? 50 balloons for a 50th birthday. Or even better, 51. And why don't we do 50 latex and sell them one? How old's the person? They're going to be 9. I have a big jumbo-shaped foil balloon. It's a big number 9, and it says happy birthday on it. Why don't we put that on top? That sounds great. Let's do that. She stopped asking about money. He, she, whoever. And now I've upsold them an order that's almost 3 times our minimum. Right. We painted word pictures. We painted a picture. We showed them value. We showed them a reason why. We made it more special. And we upsold them, and they didn't even know it. But their first question was, how much? I just want to spend the minimum. We gave them value. Didn't talk about tax. Didn't talk about delivery. I'm not talking about that till the very end. The other problem about talking about tax and delivery is, look, we've been in business a long time. Relatively speaking, in the balloon world, we're pretty big. We have a lot of overhead compared to a lot of other people in the business. We're not a big company in the real world. We're a very small company. But we have lots of expenses compared to other folks in this business who may be working out of their house with zero overhead and a couple of bags of balloons in a tank. If we start using, and I tell this to my staff all the time, do not sell delivery, do not sell tax. There are a lot of people in business out there who are not doing business like business people should. They don't charge tax. They make that a selling tool. Oh no, we include that. Well, that's illegal, number one. And number two, that probably means they're just not paying their sales tax bill because they're flying under the radar for now. So I'm losing business to somebody who's not doing business legally. And I don't want that to happen for a whole lot of reasons. But reason number one is I just don't want to lose the sale. I don't want to get beat out by that person because they're not paying their sales tax. We pay thousands and thousands of dollars in sales tax every year. Now, we also have trucks and lots of insurance. And those commercial vehicles cost a lot more money than the little car or the little, you know, minivan that they have to shuttle the kids around. And then she takes a couple of balloon orders out. It costs her a lot, or he or she, a lot less money to deliver those balloons. And I'm paying a driver. And you know, there's all those things that's up against, I'm up against, with regard to a lot of other people in the field. So we want to save all those little things for the end. Because I want to make sure that we've gone through the whole process and we basically got them. Okay? Okay. When I talked about going easy on the technical terms, latex may not be technical to us. We know what the heck it's talking about. High float is a technical term. What the heck does that mean? It doesn't mean anything to anybody. You have to explain what it is. It's a chemical agent. It's a floating extender. It's a goo. Right? But it will make your balloons last longer. You need it for a project that's on a Monday morning and we really can't get in there except on Sunday afternoon. We're going to need that stuff to make it work. But if you need them for not just the morning, but for all day, and maybe even to Tuesday, possibly Wednesday, they'll be good. So you'll get double and triple use out of it. So now I'm showing them an add-on benefit to them that costs them nothing. They're going to last longer. If you really need it to be long, then we should go with the foil balloons, the silver shiny ones. They're going to last much longer. They're going to cost you a little more, but they're going to last much longer. I'm not going to tell them how much it's going to cost yet, but I'm preparing them, I'm educating them. Yes, they are more costly, but they last a lot longer. Right? Okay. Keep stacks and stacks of pictures handy and facts, facts, facts. Now, obviously, you can tell this was written a long time ago. We don't even have to do that anymore. It's all internet. If you have a website, you got a photo gallery or a picture book or whatever you call it, how many times do I do business, and perhaps you do too, where they say, I'm looking at your website, I'm looking at the centerpiece page, and I want this one. How much? Now I have to check it. I have a little notebook with all the pictures in it and numbered. And what kind of colors are we talking about? What's the occasion? What color linens are you using? How many do you need? I'm banging out all these questions. How high is the ceiling? When can we get in? When is it for? Just keep going at them. Keep going at them. So now we've got some of the marketing part behind us. Now we're all a little better expert at selling the customer. Aha. So we're now that we're busy selling the customer, let's step back a little bit and talk about service. The service is your telephone service. Now, there's lots of different ways to deal with telephone numbers, right? You got 800 numbers, now you got 888, 866, 877, right? For a lot of places, that's really good. To some customers, that makes you look too big. If you're too big, that may not be what they're looking for. So you have to kind of know your market a little bit. You know, you're not going to totally know the whole market, but if you're in a small rural town, an 800 number may not be the best thing. Larger metropolitan area, everybody's got 800 numbers. People are looking for 800 numbers. But if you're real boutique-y, maybe that's not the right thing for you. You know? That's a decision you have to make. But suffice, how many of you have 800 numbers? Anybody?
I'm sorry, what was the question?
How many have 800 numbers?
I don't.
Okay. We have 12 of them. With my phone plan, it costs me nothing. Unless people call it. And what I've been able to do, which I'll talk a little bit about later, is to put different numbers in different places to kind of know how my marketing is working. That's one. Two is that it gives me more of an opportunity to get some kind of vanity numbers. Do we know what a vanity number is? Don't know what a vanity number is? We have our retail business, one of them is called Life of the Party. My number is 874-PARTY. That's a vanity number. It spells something. What's my number? That's right. Okay. 874-PARTY. And believe me, that's a lot easier to remember than 201-342-2121, which is still a good number. Or 201-342-7354. Has a little rhyme to it. But what's my number? 74-PARTY. And I guarantee you in an hour you'll remember it. Vanity numbers are important. And they don't only have to be with 800 numbers. You can do them with a regular number. We have one, 997-DJ-DJ. Know which one I'm trying to figure out in my marketing plan when I'm using that number? 800-320-GIFT. Another one. Those are vanity numbers. Right? Now, lots of other businesses use them too. And it makes it easy. When I need to call ACP, you know their number? 5721-ACP. Right? I have an event company we work with. It's 803-EVENTS. Could I tell you real quick like that what's their real number? No, I just look on the thing and I spell out events. That's where they work. And they work very well. Okay? RCF numbers. Do we know what an RCF number is? An RCF number, what is it?
Well, remote call forwarding.
Correct. Okay. Well, there's remote call forwarding that where you call, you like leave a note message and it calls through to your cell phone. But there's a marketing technique of RCF numbers. RCF numbers were originally made before cell phones were really around. And what they are is if you serve a big area, perhaps even in another area code,
right,
it makes you look more local. Because you get a remote call forwarded number. Let's say for us, I have several RCF numbers in different counties. And the RCF number there is their area code and their exchange, you know, the prefix. So I look local to that area. What happens then is the customer pays for the call from their phone to the RCF number. I then pay for the call from the RCF number to my office. Okay? You understand? So I look local. Now, good thing, bad thing. Good thing is more homey, more folksy, more local. I like to deal with local people. We hear that a lot. And I'm a half an hour away from the place. And they'll buy because I'm local. So that's part of that same decision I talked about before. You have to decide, is an 800 number too corporate? Do you need to look folksy? Do you need to look local? You're always going to get that. The answers are always going to be wrong and right. You know, you're never going to get the perfect thing. That's why we have lots of numbers. I'm trying to put them in different places to try and figure out what the heck's going on. What the heck can I do? An RCF, if you look up in the phone book, plumbers have them. Some of our plumbers, at least in our area, they might take out a half a page. and have like 20 numbers on there, looking local to each town. So people will say, oh, I need a plumber, you know, in my town. This guy's got one in Hackensack. Well, it's all ringing in the house, and his wife's picking up the phone. The same, he's just got 20 RCF numbers. That's all.
Most people do look for somebody that's close.
Yes. But remote call forwarding makes it possible, even though I'm not really there.
Well, the first time I found out about it, I didn't move from one location. I wanted to take my number with me.
Uh-huh. Portability didn't exist at that time, right? It's a kind of a different world now for that stuff, but not really. You know, the reasons I'm giving you are just as valid today as they were 15 to 20 years ago. Just as valid. So we talk a little about Yellow Pages advertising. Yellow Pages advertising is a killer. But you can't live without it in a way. At least I can't. Again, depending on your area, certain other things might work for you. These are things that work for us, and they work in major markets. The problem with Yellow Pages is it's really expensive. The other problem with Yellow Pages is that a mistake lasts a year, and you can't get out of it. The only way you get out of it, you turn the line off. You turn the phone number off, they're not going to charge you. But do you really want to do that? No.
People have your number.
The wrong number for our business.
Absolutely. I've had that too. I've had it.
And they ended up getting, however it worked, that number didn't belong to our local provider. It was a subs.
Mm-hmm.
And they ended up getting the number and then remote call forwarding it to our
local. Exactly. So the technology is there to do that, but that's only if they printed a number that doesn't work yet, you know, isn't connected to somebody. So we've had problems like that in the past. It's hard to fight these guys. These guys are bigger than life.
Spending a fortune to get it.
That is correct. But a strong presence in the Yellow Pages delivers key messages to customers at a critical stage in the purchase process, which is basically nobody's taken this home to read it just for fun. It's, you know, they're going to get out the Yellow Pages when they're ready to get something, whether it's information or product. And more times than not, it's product. Think of it yourself. Do you go running for the Yellow Pages to, like, for bathroom reading or something? Of course not. When you need something, open the Yellow Pages. So you're ready to buy. They are actively seeking information, and they're ready to buy. Right? 76% of all adults refer to the Yellow Pages monthly, and 88% of those who use the Yellow Pages ultimately make or are likely to make a purchase. Now, again, this was put on here a couple of years ago, and people may refer more to the Yellow Pages online than they do in the book, but there's a lot of old-school people out there that still pick up the book. A lot of them. Myself included. The Internet is great, but it's not, doesn't have all the answers, especially with this stuff. At least it doesn't seem to me. But if that many people rely on the Yellow Pages to buy, you probably better be in there. The unfortunate part is paying for it. And because they know these statistics, they know they got you. And because they got you, they know you're going to buy. And then they come to you with all kinds of garbage, jargon. Have you ever heard this one? Dominate the heading? Your rep comes in and says, you know, you got to dominate the heading. You got to be the biggest ad. They say that all the time. It's not true. Because I go back to the question I asked you before. How many of you open the Yellow Pages, look for the biggest ad, and buy?
Usually I think that's the most expensive place.
Right. That's how I feel.
Nobody does it. Nobody. Not one. I've been teaching this class for many years. Nobody has ever said, ooh, me, I buy with the biggest ad. First try out of the box? Never. So why do we have to dominate the heading? We don't. The average mortal is going to look at about 5 ads. They may not call them all, but they're going to look at 5. Now, the problem is, you don't have to dominate the heading, but you probably got to be in the top 5. Now, for some of you, in whatever area you're in, you may say, well, that's a lot. There aren't even 5 guys. In my area, in some of our books, there's pages of us. Pages. Right. New York City, whew, we have an ad in the New York City Yellow Pages. the Manhattan Yellow Pages. It used to be all of New York City, all the five boroughs and Manhattan were all one book. And they got smart. And they broke it out into Manhattan, Bronx, Brooklyn, Queens, Staten Island. And they didn't drop the price by 80% in each book. They dropped it by about 10 or 20%. And now you had to start advertising in all the darn books. Right? But you've got to be in there enough that you have enough of a presence. And it's a real guessing game because what other ads are going to be in there next time around? You have no idea. That's why I said if you make a mistake, it lasts a year, which can seem like forever. If you went too big, you're kicking yourself because you spent too much. If you went too small, you drop out of the top five, and people probably aren't going to call you. The only ones who are going to call you are the ones who are really looking specifically for you. What's the number of life of the party? I've got to pick it out. What's my number?
74.
That's right. You remembered it. What's my other number?
Yes.
No, not my RCF, not my vanity number. What's my other number? You don't remember it. Vanity numbers. Okay?